Welcome back to the student section. I'm your host, Baker Lehman, here with Chris Richmond, Cole Thompson, and Cameron Too. And we have been talking about Alabama sports, and we're going to roll on with Alabama sports because the...
roll on.
Wow.
Y'all got it.
Oh, good. Wow.
That's great. But we are going to get into some Alabama baseball, which first pitch was this weekend, and Alabama beat St. Louis 2-1 in a series. Dropped the first game in the season opener, but then won the next two, and the third won in impressive fashion, 9-3.
Boom, and that's positive news. Positive news for UA sports.
Yay!
Exactly. Big win. Big win, and I'm... really couldn't tell you whether St. Louis is going to be a good team this season or not, but Alabama started off the season ranked 21. They might drop out because of that first loss, but certainly they're a team that's looking up in the SEC. Right now being led by shortstop Mikey White and batting average of 400, and he had an RBI this week and a triple and four hits and scored three runs at 10 at-bats. It's off to a good start, guys.
Yeah,
I'll take Kyle Overstreet had another good another player who was good for Bama last year and had a good week with two RBIs, batting .273 at 11 at bats. It's just, you know, as much as I'm definitely an MLB fan, I love college baseball and I love baseball. It's great, and this nice warm weather has just made it that much better. And it's just, and there's a new outfield for all the students to sit in, and it's just going to be a great year, I think, for Alabama baseball.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Alabama baseball is really on the up and up. I mean, a few years ago they were absolutely terrible, and then last year, nice surprise, brought in a great recruiting class, and they paid dividends a little earlier than a lot of people expected, on route to a pretty decent season for the Crimson Tide. They look to build upon that. They got a lot of young guys coming back this year. Had a couple people on the all-SEC freshman team last year in Kyle Overstreet and Ray Castillo, and or Castillo, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Castillo.
And you know, so they've got a lot of young talent, and should be a really exciting team to watch in what is always a very, very tough SEC.
It's been a tough SEC, and if you've looked at the past years where South Carolina, LSU, Mississippi State have always
Florida,
you know, they've also been the four big powerhouses in, you know, the NCAA.
Ole Miss every now and again, too.
I throw them in the talk, but Alabama last year stepped up, proved themselves worthy. You know, they were a top 25 team for, I think, 2 weeks of the season last year, something like that. But, you know, they started off the season ranked 21 in the nation, dropped down to 26 in the nation, still have a chance, though, to really become a big powerhouse name in the SEC, especially in the dominant SEC.
Yeah, and Chris, I believe you looked up how many SEC teams are in the top 35 teams, I believe you said.
I did, and I've forgotten. It's either 9 or 10. It's a
nine.
Lot.
You
it's
said 9.
It's 9, though.
9. I was trying to...
9
of
14
set,
teams.
Trying to set you up for the stat there.
Well, there
but
you
that's
go.
Right.
Wow,
but
way
not,
to blow
yeah,
buddy.
That maybe basketball season is not, besides the fact that Florida is now number 2 in college basketball, SEC's seasons are definitely in spring and fall, without a doubt, because baseball is consistently dominant. You had another team in the finals last year with Mississippi State, unfortunately falling to UCLA, but went on quite a run at the end of the year. There had a couple first-round picks from that team into the MLB, and, you know, South Carolina has won two in a row. Florida's won a bunch in the past. It's really...
LSU's always been a contender,
too. LSU's always right there as well and has some phenomenal pitching talent, as always. They do a great job with their pitching talent, but Alabama, you know, started still over 500. We haven't really talked about an over 500 team in a little while. So, two
doing better than
now,
Alabama basketball.
And we'll have, we'll,
shots fired.
we'll have
careful, Chris.
Stephen F. Austin next weekend here in Tuscaloosa. But, and if you look back at it just in general, Alabama baseball isn't exactly, you know, just a team that's never had any success or anything like that. They really have sent, I think the biggest name I can think of now is Alex Avila, the catcher for the Tigers. But Alabama's baseball history is pretty solid.
You know, Josh Rutledge made a splash for the Rockies a couple years ago before he didn't do so hot last season. This season, again, he's competing for the second base job with DJ LeMahieu, and hopefully he wins it because for fantasy baseball players, he's got a lot more to offer in terms of potential. So, Josh Rutledge, hey, we hope you bounce back, buddy, and roll tide to you. But yeah, Alabama has not been a terrible team in baseball. In fact, they've been pretty good and look to get back to that.
Yeah, Alabama baseball has always been, you know, a decent program. Alex Avila is just the main guy who I can think of just because of he's been a two-time All-Star. But I really hope, you know, him and Josh Rutledge both step up this season, do great for fantasy, and hopefully, you know, this year we get more players coming out for the draft.
Yeah. Well, oh, God.
Y'all are forgetting one player. The new closer for the New York Yankees, David Robertson.
He is an Alabama player.
Yeah.
I remember watching the interview of him on the, what's it called, Sugar Bowl.
I think he's going to have a great year. A lot of people say, you know, how tough is it to fill Mariano Rivera's shoes? And, of course, it's pretty tough. But David Robertson, I think, has all the stuff to be an above-average closer. And when you do that for the Yankees, it's going to lead to a lot of saves. So hopefully he has a great season, too, despite the fact that he's a New York Yankee. Good luck to you, man. Please get on a different team soon so I can feel a little bit better about rooting for you.
But that being said, with the current players, who's really going to star for this team this season, guys? Just kind of, obviously, we have a very small sample size, and you have what you have last season. But who do you think is really going to be the, whether a pitcher, position player at the plate, who do you think is really going to be the stud for this Alabama
team? Well, I think Mikey White is going to have a great year. He was All-SEC second-team shortstop last year. He's already off to a great start. He can keep that up and do his thing.
I'm going to go with Austin Smith, the first baseman out of Cannamount, Florida. He's a senior this year. And last night's game, yesterday's game, he went 2-for-3, had 3 RBIs. You know, he really stepped up. He's been an SEC honor roll player for years. Last year, he ranked 7th in the SEC with 7 home runs and 11th with 15 doubles. He led the team both in slugging percentage last year with .452. I really think he's going to step up and have a great season this year at the first base.
Yeah, and Mikey White was part of the double play duo who led the nation in double plays last year. You wouldn't have thought that if you watched Alabama baseball, just with their, you know, not good enough to get them into a regional, but Alabama led the nation.
Wow.
Fun fact of the day. Who, him and Kyle Overstreet?
Yeah. Yes. And I think that Kyle Overstreet's definitely a guy who's going to be up there. But for me, I'm going to go with, just because this is going to lead into another conversation, but Ray Castillo, who was the closer for Alabama last year, had 23 saves last year, was really phenomenal right up until that last game where he just blew it.
Imploded.
And, he imploded, and he was a freshman last year. He's from Sealy, Alabama. But I expect him to come back in and have a very nice year pitching, whether it's in that closing role as a reliever. But he really impressed me last year. I mean, I was calling for his head in that last game. I'm not going to deny that. But he really had a phenomenal freshman season. I expect only better things from him. And pitching, for the last few years, has really been one of Alabama's issues just because they were all so young. Now a lot of that talent has finally developed and is more upperclassmen or has a lot of experience at least. And I think it's going to really benefit Alabama down the line. I remember, I guess, my sophomore year, 2 years ago, their whole rotation was freshmen. And that's very hard to win in a tough league like the SEC when you are pitching all freshmen who are just coming out of high school.
Absolutely. And, you know, When you come in as a freshman, you perform as well as Castillo did. That's a really bright sign for the future, and hopefully he can continue to progress and make improvements and getting better this season.
He's gonna have a very good season, I hope.
Yeah, but now let's go into a little bit of professional baseball, just because.
Boom.
And why not? With pro baseball this year, the biggest news recently, and Chris, we were talking a little bit about this before, and I want to add this into the show, even though I was going to wait till next week, but Craig Kimbrell just was signed to a big extension for the Braves, and he's had a phenomenal first few years in the MLB with the Atlanta Braves, and has broken his own record a couple times for saves. You are not so hot on paying the closers big bucks, so let's get your side of the story. And I think Cole and I are a little bit on the other side, so let's get your half of the argument.
Well, the Atlanta Braves management does a great job giving these guys affordable contracts. They gave Freddie Freeman, who's very young, a great contract for pretty cheap, and then they got Julio Teheran, who I think is going to be one of the best pitchers in MLB over the next few years, a really cheap contract. Then they turn around and give Craig Kimbrell $11 million over the next 4 years, and that's ridiculous. I go ask the Phillies how wise it is to sign a great closer to a big deal. Look at Jonathan Papelbon. He was hot stuff, and now he's not even a top 10 closer. He's not even a top 20 closer. Jason Mott was a top 5 closer last year. What happens? He gets hurt. These guys, there's no more volatile position than closer, and even if you were the best closer in the game for the next 4 years, you're not worth $11 million because you're only going to pitch for one inning. The average closer closes out a game successfully 94% of the time. If you can do it 99%, you're not offering nearly enough of an uptick for that $11 million to be going to you and not someone more valuable like an Andrelton Simmons or Brandon Beachy, whoever else.
Well, Baker, I'll let you go first.
For me, especially being on a team who's probably about to invest a lot of money in a big-time closer with Aroldis Chapman. Yeah, and he's considered the other, young, hot, up-and-coming closing prospects and has done it pretty well for the last 2 seasons, the last season and a half since he wasn't even a full-time closer 2 seasons ago. But I'm a big fan of closers. You're right, Chris, and your argument's very valid that they only come in for one inning. And that's, is that worth $11 million? Maybe not. But paying these guys money to stay around, you look at the effect that Mariel Rivera has had on for the Yankees for a lot of years, and how important just also, well, and that the Mariano Rivera is also a special case because he basically invented a pitch with the cutter. But I think that it's just it's a big deal to have someone in those 2-1 games, especially if you're late in the season like the Braves are, who they're trying to get to the World Series and have just as good a chance as any of the top teams in the MLB. You know, you're up 2-1, and you have a lot of faith in your closer. And I think Craig Kimbrell had 3 blown saves this past year, and one of them was against the Reds, and I was there, and it was great. But still, I'd rather have almost, you know, that 99% confidence in my closer just to lock down that 2-1 win, especially when the meat of the order is up, than the problem that the Detroit Tigers had, that the Detroit Tigers were a great team and got there, but there are a lot of games that they couldn't close out because they didn't have a consistent closer.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely right that it's great to have a guy like Mariano Rivera, but not at the expense of one of the best shortstops in the game or of having a better rotation. And even if you're comparing him to the greatest closer of all time, which is what Mariano Rivera is, was not perfect, and he wasn't perfect in the playoffs, and he wasn't perfect in the World Series. And if you think just because you got the greatest closer of all time that you're safe to go in and that you're paying him all this money and it's worth it, sorry, wasn't. And to me, I'd rather have a top 10 shortstop in the game who's 22 locked up for the next 6 years than to take my chances on a closer who might be out for the season next year for all we know, or might blow up like Papelbon, or might continue to do what he does and still not be worth it.
But yeah, but you could argue the same thing for a guy like Simmons, who, you know, he could have a tragic knee injury and never play baseball really solidly again.
Yeah. Closers, though, tend to get, because of their high leverage situation and because they're always throwing so hard, especially a guy like Kimbrell, who's throwing 100-mile-per-hour pitches every single time, you have such a higher chance of getting hurt. It happens all the time. Okay, last year, going into the season, and you had 30 guys who were supposed to be closers, maybe 15 of them were still that team's closer at the end of the year. So, I mean, I don't like it. You know, I mean, Kimbrell's a great guy. He might be the best closer in the game. But even so, I don't think it's worth it.
It's proven in stats that he has been, in the past 2 years, best closer of the game. ERA 1.21, 50 saves, four blown saves, 92.6 save percentage. The guy is worth the money being paid. However, he is not worth $11 million a year. I will give you that. They offered him a little too much, but at the same time,
I don't think he's worth eight.
I think he's worth $9 million. I think he's $9 million a year for sure, without a doubt.
But you could get Simmons for that.
You could, but you know what? I'd much rather have the role that Mariano Rivera has played for the Yankees in years to come in Craig Kimbrell. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make sure he is the next big name closer. And closers really are the defining moment, because they're the one who will either be the hero of the game in a one-inning lead game, or the person who the entire city will hate because
they're worthless.
It. Yeah. They are not worthless. They are the most important player.
Ask the Red Sox. They had 3 different closers last year. They did just fine.
Because
there's always
another
guy.
They had an offense who could produce, but when you have a
Koji Uehara had a better year than Craig Kimbrell last year.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
Are we talking about stats for save percentage?
We're talking about this guy had a sub-1 whip. We're talking about this guy was absurd, okay? At one point, he had, like, 3 times as many strikeouts as hits allowed on the year. Koji Uehara had a saver season for the ages, and he was the 3rd guy up going into the year after Joel Hanrahan and Andrew Bailey both got hurt, again demonstrating how often these closers get hurt. I don't care if Craig Kimbrell's not only as good as Mariano Rivera, better than him. He's not worth the money. You take Andrelton Simmons, he's a top 10 shortstop, by far the best defensive shortstop in the game. He's going to hit .280. He's young as all get out. Big mistake by the Braves organization.
I still don't think it was a big mistake by the Braves organization. I still think that they can sign
Simmons. Sign Hayward?
I'd much rather have Simmons than Hayward.
Okay, but I'm saying, you could re-sign Jason Hayward for 3 more years and get a top 10 shortstop, or you could have Craig Kimbrell.
You're making the assumption that by signing Kimbrell, they don't get to sign Simmons. I don't think that's how it works.
It's not necessarily.
And
but,
that was Seth Juniak, yeah. One of our other members of our
but remember, these aren't the Yankees.
Sports staff.
But remember, the Yankees can afford to drop $20 million wasted on Wells and drop 20 more wasted on A-Rod and then have 10 go to Jeter and 10 go to Rivera, because the Yankees don't care how much money they're spending like the Dodgers. But the Braves are not like that. The Braves do let people go when they can't afford them. It happens all the time with them.
Well, speaking of, I don't know, I'm trying to make this a very clever segue, and I'm kind of stuck, but I'm gonna
wow.
Segue. I'm gonna segue.
Way to set yourself up
I'm
for
gonna
failure.
Segue into teams who, just like the Yankees, who were close but missed the playoffs last year.
We're gonna Papelbon over to the Yankees now.
There we go. But
oh, wow.
What's a team that was in the playoffs last year, wild card or division winner, who is not gonna make the playoffs next year, whether because of players they signed, players they lost, whatever reason you think. Who's a team in, we'll do one for both leagues, who in the AL is not going to make a visit to the playoffs again next year?
You know what? You guys are going to disagree with me, and honestly, I have a hard time believing it myself because I say it every year and I'm always wrong. The Oakland Athletics. I don't think Josh Donaldson can repeat the kind of year he had. Yoenis Cespedes could be better, but I still don't think it'll be great. And even though Sonny Gray and Scott Kazmir and Gerard Parker are all pretty good starters, I don't think that they have a true ace. Sonny Gray, I think, could have a really good year. I just think top to bottom, the rotation's not that great. And I think it's going to be a really, really tough division this year. So I don't see the Athletics going back this year. I think the Rangers are going to win the division.
I think the Rangers will definitely win the division. I really wouldn't be surprised at that. And I like how you said, you know, the A's have always been a team that have never really, you know, been fully capable. I'm going to go with Cleveland. I'm definitely going to go Cleveland. You know, they lost pitching in Scott Kazmir. They still haven't signed Ubaldo Jimenez. Carlos Santana is really their main player to the team. I just think Cleveland will not be as strong with the pitching. They will not be as strong with the bats this year.
I think they're better with the bats.
Really? I don't.
Still got Kipnis. You know, you
still got Kipnis. You still got Michael Bourne. You still got Carlos Santana. And Carlos Santana, I think, will have a breakout year this year. But he'll be the only main player who you'll see.
Well, you know, they're going to move him to third. So it opens the door for Yan Gomes.
I thought they were moving him to first.
Well, he's going to play back and forth. Right now, he's practicing at third. And so I think that having Yan Gomes there at catcher presents another offensive dynamic for them,
too. Of course. And I knew he was going to be moved to either first or third. But I still think that the Cleveland Indians are the one team to let slip over the Oakland Athletics just because of the pitching in Oakland is just phenomenal.
It's tough in the AL. The AL has a lot of, like, playoff contending teams, especially just with some of the pieces that have moved around. I want to say Cleveland, but I believe in Terry Francona a lot, just as much as I want to say Tampa Bay might hurt next year. I like Tampa Bay a lot. I like what they've done. They were, despite a lot of their batting averages, they play and they got on base and scored a lot. But at some point or another, if they don't lock up David Price or trade him, I think they'll trade him. I think that that's going to hurt a lot.
You know what, though? Alex Cobb proved himself to be almost as good as David Price last year. I think he'll continue to pitch great. Chris Archer had a really nice debut. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Hellickson, after getting lucky a couple years in a row, had it blow the other way. I think he'll bounce back a bit this year. So the rotation should still be strong. They got Balfour, and if he's healthy, he's going to be great. And I think with Will Myers and Evan Longoria and Ben Zobrist in the lineup, it's going to be a pretty good lineup. Yeah, Devin Jennings could break out. So I think they got a lot of interesting guys. When you play in the AL East, you're right. It's really tough.
That's exactly my point. It's just the fact that they're in the AL East. The Yankees are going to be coming hot. So are the Orioles. I expect the Orioles to have a very nice season once again.
Yeah, even the Blue Jays have a lot of pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
They have the pieces.
Just, and it's not on the fact that Tampa Bay can't get back or they're just going to, you know, fall to the bottom of the division, but it's just such a tough division to get back into. And I think that Boston, Baltimore, and New York are going to be the top three in there. I don't quite know if the Red Sox can have the season that they had again last year.
I don't think so either.
Was a pretty magical run.
It was. Who's your NL team?
NL team, for me, it's going to be the Pirates. Cole, yes, I know you're a Pirates fan.
I'm not a Pirates fan.
Oh, you're not?
Oh, okay. God, no, I'm not a Pirates fan.
Well, I just assumed as a Steeler fan.
No,
but,
I'm not a Pirates fan.
You know, and it's, once again, as a Reds fan, I don't like the Pirates either, not necessarily as much as I don't like the Cardinals, and as much as I respect the St. Louis Cardinals for the organization they are, I cannot stand them.
Incredible organization.
They're such an incredible organization.
But I just think that my Reds are going to find a way to get back in or be very close, but Pittsburgh has some young talent they can bring up, but I just think at the end of the day they didn't do enough in this offseason to help themselves out, and I think that the Reds are going to find a way to do some more, especially with some trades that they'll make at some point. They're about to re-sign Homer Bailey. Reports came out today that they're close to re-signing Homer Bailey at least, but Pittsburgh, also losing A.J. Burnett loses some continuity in there. I just think Pittsburgh's going to fall just short. They're still going to be a very good team. It could be an 85 to 90 win team, but I think they're going to fall just short, especially with Arizona and the Dodgers, and I think San Francisco is going to bounce back in a big way. They seem to take an off year in between these two the two World Series. There's one. Washington's going to be in there, I think.
Now, Washington will be excellent. They'll be right there with the Braves.
Yeah, I think so, too. But
all right. Y'all are done. I'm going in. Bold prediction for next season. The L.A. Dodgers not make the playoffs, and the Arizona Diamondbacks will win the NL West.
And Seth loves you for that one, but you're wrong.
Good man.
No, they are going to do it. Paul Goldschmidt is a great first baseman. Yeah, they are doing well at pitching. They're going to have great prospects.
They're doing well.
Okay, Diamondbacks. Don't even go to the Clayton Kershaw.
No,
you
said the Diamondbacks have a great rotation. Now, outside of Patrick Corbin, what makes the Diamondbacks rotation special?
Nothing, but their offensive bats are hitting so well, and that they have.
They have Goldschmidt, Trumbo, and that's it.
But, okay, I think that Chris Owens will.
Aaron Hill's pretty good.
Aaron Hill is a very good on base percentage player. The Arizona Diamondbacks will be making the playoffs next year.
Jarrett Parra,
and.
D D.D. Gregorius. Listen, pretty solid.
L.A. Dodgers will not be going.
Compare them to the Dodgers. The Dodgers have not only arguably the best rotation along with Detroit and Washington, but they have an incredible talent. They've got a fourth outfielder better than anyone that Arizona has in their outfield. All right? I take... Well, maybe Ethier's not quite that good.
No, Ethier's not.
But he's about their level. He's every bit as good as Parra. I mean, come on, offensively, come on.
He has to bounce back in a big way.
They got Carl Crawford. They've got Hanley Ramirez. If Matt Kemp comes back anywhere close to what he did, then you've got three guys on offense that are all MVP contenders in Puig and Hanley Ramirez. Yeah. And it's not close. The Dodgers have so much more talent. It's not close.
Dodgers will not go. Well, they will find a way to choke.
I'll make you a bet on that.
They will find a way to choke.
No betting on air, guys.
Not on air. But I'm going to agree with Baker here that the Pittsburgh Pirates, unless, this is my only caveat, unless they have Polanco and Talon up for more than half the season, I don't see them making it.
I think Pittsburgh will make big trades at the trade deadline, like they did last year.
See, I think they should have kept Burnett for that very reason.
Right. Well, spring's just around the corner. Pitchers and catchers have reported. Spring trainings, I think, it starts in 19 days.
Diamondbacks.
It's baseball season, guys. But that's all the time we have for you today. Please keep listening to the student section all this week from Tuesday to Thursday from 2 to 3:30 and Friday from 3 to 5. You get that little 30-minute punch there on Friday. But for everyone here on the student section, I'm Baker Lehman, and thanks for listening. Tuscaloosa, have a good night.